Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Summer is nearly here, and while kids count the days till the end of the school year, many parents are fretting over how to keep their kids occupied over the next few months. For those looking for ways to get kids off their screens this summer, Jessica Leahy is with us. Her article for the Motherload blog offers a, quote, big pile of fantastic ideas to get kids outside making and doing this summer. Jessica writes about education and parenting for the New York Times, The Atlantic, and on her JessicaLeahy.com blog. Jessica, so great you could be with us.
Thank you.
Okay, so for many parents across New Hampshire, school gets out next week. Where should they start?
The first place I think they should start is with giving kids some serious downtime once school is out. I'm not a fan of scheduling kids up over the summer. And while I've got some suggestions about things kids can do, I kind of hope that you'll present these ideas and let them lie on the table and let kids pick them up for themselves.
In their own due time.
In their own due time. Let them discover them as if they came up with the idea themselves.
Okay, so how about what's around town? I know you worked with a librarian on putting together your list. Are libraries in small New Hampshire's town generally active?
Libraries in New Hampshire in particular are very, very active. They bring speakers in. They have group projects for kids. Really get in touch with your librarian. And if they're not doing something for kids this summer, suggest leading a program. Some of the suggestions I have are really easy to implement with very little money and with just a couple of kids.
And I know STEM education is something that you say libraries are even ahead of the curve on.
They are way ahead of the curve. Judy Russell, the librarian in my town, Lyme, New Hampshire, she came up with just some great resources. If you go online and look at the makerspaces, they have great resources and maps so that you can find local programs and find spaces to do some of these projects.
All right, makerspaces. Can you give us a little?
Makerspaces are fantastic. They are staffed by people who are experienced with the materials and the technology to do everything from 3D printing to, you know, making a geodesic dome out of rolled up newspaper. And the make people, they're sort of a large organization across the country, are really enthusiastic about getting kids involved in STEM education and integrating arts and design as well into STEM with this new acronym STEAM.
All right. Now, you have a couple of books in front of you. Are those guides for our summer fun?
Well, I brought three books with me. The first book I brought with me is, I have to say, my favorite. It's called Unbored, and it's by Joshua Glenn and Elizabeth Foy Larson. It's really aimed at kids. This is the book that my 10-year-old tends to go to first because it's accessible to him. It even teaches kids at the very beginning how to tell their parents just to lay off and let them have some time and let them have some space and to not get too involved in their stuff.
Should we just open a page and see what's
there? Sure, let's just see what we can find here. Here we have Rocking Out, How to Create Your Own Band and and How to Create Your Own Sound. And it actually talks about different theories of how to, you know, what you can do with an amp, what you can do with a microphone, how you can set up your own practice schedule and space, and how to record your practices, which is something that just about everybody can do now that they have, you know, everything from smartphones to, you know, the ability to get on a laptop.
All right. That book is called Unbored, and we will have a list of all of the books that Jessica mentions today at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. What else have you got there?
I have Gevert Tully's 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kids Do. Gevert Tully is well known for his TED Talk about 5 dangerous things you should let your kids do. And, you know, the usual suspects are fire and whittling. You know, get a kid a pocket knife and teach them how to whittle. Don't get a kid a pocket knife and just send them out in the backyard. Show them about whittling and cutting away from your hand and how to use it safely. But Gever has, in this book, he has, in 50 Dangerous Things, he has a bunch of fun things for kids to do. Everything from how to properly light a fire to how to make your own slingshot.
I see a slingshot on the cover.
Yep.
Is that something that would make a lot of, I mean, you write about parenting a lot. Would it make your helicopter parent quiver?
Well, I have to tell you, I was at my parents' house last weekend and I gave this book to my dad, who grew up in southern Indiana and has some harrowing tales about all the kind of mischief that he's gotten into. And some of this is not going to upset helicopter parents at all, because there are things like driving a nail, which, of course, can be a little nerve-wracking the first time you watch your kid grab a hammer and whack a nail into a board. But some of them are things like go to the dump and, you know, burn things with a magnifying glass. It's not exactly high stakes terror and risk here.
Now, you have a couple of kids, different ages. Mm-hmm. So do you try and gauge some of these activities and books per child?
My kids have a pretty good sense of safety. Some kids, you really need to know your own kids. Some kids are much bigger risk takers than other kids. I tend to have fairly careful kids. And when I, you know, hand them some matches and tell them we're going to cook outside in an hour, could they please get the fire ready? We've talked about what that means. Then, and my younger son, actually, that's his favorite responsibility. He says, okay, what time are we eating? Okay, I need to plan about 90 minutes in advance so the wood will get burned to a certain level. And I send that 10-year-old outside with the matches, and he goes and gets the wood off the, you know, off of the pile. He knows exactly what needs to be done. But I didn't just send him out the first time to do that. I taught him how to do it. I was with him.
How about the other book you've got here?
The final book I have is really more for parents. It's The Best of Make, The Best of 75 Projects from the Pages of Make. And Make has a magazine, aptly named Make Magazine. They also are the people involved in the maker spaces. They have a lot of projects in here. Some of the really fun ones are how to make a little robot mouse out of a computer mouse. So some of these obviously require a little bit of how-to expertise, but it explains everything in here. There's some electronics. There's how to modify technology for kids who are too young for a mouse. Some of them are really, really hard to do. Some of them, not so much. And at the building your robot mouse, I thought that would be a little bit challenging. And my 10-year-old started to look at the instructions for that. And he said, I can do this. And there are some projects that, you know, you may need to help with. And that's great. You know, schedule it for a time that you guys can work together. And that's some of the most fun stuff you can do with your kids.
I look at Make Magazine and I think of popular mechanics that my dad used to have around. There seems to be a kind of dad-ish vibe to a lot of these Make magazines. I mean, am I just imagining that?
No, you are not imagining that. I mentioned my column in the New York Times is called The Parent-Teacher Conference. And in that last column, I specifically mentioned that most of them have the word dad in the title. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm going to forgive them simply because the books are so darn great. But I'm the one in the house that knows how to use the tools. So, you know, it would be nice if the moms were sort of appreciated as involved tool wielders and power tool users in the house.
It sounds like your kids are pretty excited to tinker and to light cooking fires. Let's make that specific. Any tips for parents whose kids would rather stay inside and play video games?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about video games that a lot of kids are playing today. I have to give a thumbs up and a props to Minecraft. My 10-year-old is completely addicted to Minecraft. And as long as you achieve a balance, you know, let them have some time. Minecraft, in particular, there are some fantastic aspects to it. And I have to say, even when it's not something that is teaching them, let it go. My 10-year-old and my 15-year-old don't spend a lot of time together doing things the same. One is a teenager and one is a preteen. But when they're playing a game together, that's really some great time for them. And I let them have that. I don't get all anxious about the fact that they're playing video games.
Mm-hmm. With these months stretching out in front of us, which seems so plentiful right now, we know how quickly they go here in New Hampshire. Do you suggest focusing on like one particular project, taking on one particular book, or just freeform? What's your approach?
I'm a freeform type of gal. Yeah, the projects come and go. You can start a project and then they decide that that's just not something they want to do. And I'm a big fan of letting them quit if they really have given it a go and don't love what they're doing. Some projects will stretch over the whole summer as, you know, their interest in it ebbs and flows. Right now, my 10-year-old is in the middle of whittling a whole set of magic wands. And some of them are at his grandparents' house, and some of them are at our house. And, you know, sometimes he's interested and sometimes he's not. Forcing it, exerting your own will on their play is the fastest way to kill their enthusiasm. So let them have their time. Let them have their ebb and flow.
Can I put in my order for a magic wand? Because I could really use it.
Absolutely. I will task him on that today.
Jessica Leahy, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us.
You're very welcome.
Well, Jessica Leahy writes about education and parenting for the New York Times and the Atlantic. You'll find a link to a big pile of fantastic ideas to get kids outside making and doing this summer, and a host of other articles compiled on her Jessica Leahy website. That link, wordofmouthradio.org. And we'd like to know, do you have any tricks to get your kids away from the computer screen and out into nature? Join the ongoing discussion on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.